Turn in your Bibles this morning, if you would, with me to the book of Hosea, chapter 6. Hosea, chapter 6. If you're using the chair, the red Bibles in the chairs, it's page 754. And if you're trying to find it in your own Bible, you're on your own. No. Go past the middle of the Bible. Keep going past the middle, past Proverbs, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, past Isaiah, past Daniel, Ezekiel, and finally you'll get to Hosea there eventually. If you hit Matthew or Mark, Luke, and John, you've gone too far. Hosea 6. We're going to be focusing this morning and really over the next probably about 6 weeks. I still haven't estimated where it's going to start and where it's going to stop. Well, I guess I know where it's going to start. It starts today. But where it's going to stop exactly. But about the next 6 weeks, we're going to be focusing on what this text is really talking about, an invitation for you and I to come and return to the Lord. Let me talk about revival for a second. Because I noticed something when Jesse was talking about it, because that's how we tend to usually talk about it. We tend to usually talk about revival out there in the community. And we pray, oh God, send revival to this community. Oh God, send revival to this nation. No, 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 no. Revival starts right here in this heart. Oh God, send revival to my heart and to my life. And I'll talk about that more in a few minutes. Let's read it. Follow along. Come, let us return to the Lord. For he has torn us that he may heal us. He has destroyed us so that he may bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. And on the third day, he will raise us up so that we may live in his presence before him. Let us know. Let us press on to know the Lord. For his going out is as sure as the dawn. Did you see the sun come up this morning? So sure is God. He will come to us as the showers, as the spring rains that water the earth. Let me give you some context here of what's going on in the book of Hosea. Hosea is a prophet. His contemporaries were men like Isaiah and Micah, who were ministering all at the same time to the same people group. Hosea is a prophet of God who was so very, very faithful. He preached more than 80 years the good news of the gospel of the light of heaven, God himself. The book of Hosea, I think, as I've studied it and as I've read about it from others as well, is the first of the minor prophets who, I believe, gives us the very clearest theological look at the very essence and character of who God is himself. Hosea answers a question. Firmly answers this question. Does God love us even when our hearts are far from him? And the answer is abundantly, yes, 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 he loves us even when our hearts are separated from him. Hosea ministered in a time when the kingdom of Israel was divided in two because of civil war. Israel to the north, and Hosea ministered to those people. And God called him as a prophet of God to go and marry a woman named Gomer, who would later become a prostitute, a wayward wife, and a wayward woman. And it was through Hosea's faithful love to his wayward wife that God illustrated to Israel the fact that God's love never stops, that God's love never ends. that God's love goes on and on and on, even when our hearts are far from him. Hosea pleaded with Israel for a change of heart. Why? In order to avoid God's judgment and to experience the revival that God so lovingly wanted to pour all over them if they were willing to come back and return to him. Listen, God has not changed today from that position. The same God that was beckoning Israel to come back from their obstinate obsession with the world is the same God that's calling your heart and my heart to come back to him as well. He invites you to come back. It doesn't matter how far away you are right now. It doesn't even matter how long you've been gone from him. Hosea 6:1 says, "Come, let us return to the Lord." And verse 3 says, "Let us know, let us press on to know the Lord." That's an invitation to revival in your life and in my life. Well, let's try to understand God's word here a little more deeply. Look at the first phrase here in verse 1. Let us return to the Lord. What's Hosea mean there? What he means there is, let's turn off the current course that we're on, and let's aim everything, all that we are. Let's aim for the answers, where the answer is, and it's on God with the Lord. You see, our problems began when we turned away from the Lord. So Hosea is saying, come on, let's turn back to him. Let's return to God. And notice, it's an invitation. Come. Come. You don't have to be where you are right now. You don't have to be way off in the distance from God. You don't have to live the life that you're living the way you're living right now. You don't have to experience the sorrow and the heartache that you're feeling. You can return to the Lord. Come. Let us return to the Lord. You can leave where you are, and you can return. And it's not too late. God's waiting with open arms. That's why he says, come, let us return to the Lord. Listen, your doubt can become faith. Your discouragement can become joy in your life. Your defeat right now can become victory in the name of Jesus Christ. How can that happen, you ask? I'm telling you how it can happen. Return, come, return to the Lord. That's how it will happen. Notice it's plural. It's not let you return to the Lord. It's let us return to the Lord. Why? Because you're not alone in this. You may think you're the only one off wandering in the distance, but there's many of us who are off wandering in the distance apart from God. You may feel alone, but you're not. You may wonder if others care about what's going on. Believe me, they do care. I care about what's going on in your life. Come, let's return to the Lord. What's so interesting in this passage is that the Hebrew word in the original language for return is used more than 1,000 times in the Old Testament. Think about that. Return, return, return. Over 1,000 times all through the Old Testament, God has placed that word in there. It's more than any other term. It describes what God desires for you and for me. It's a picture of repentance when that word is used for return. Return in repentance to the Lord. Hosea himself, here in these 14 chapters, uses that specific term 23 times in these verses. Let me give you a little sampling of that. Hosea chapter 5, verse 4. It says there, their deeds do not permit them to return to their God. Let me read it again. Their deeds do not permit them to return to their God. You know what? Sometimes our chosen behaviors, how we respond, how we act, it keeps us from returning to the Lord. God's not the barrier. The deeds of our lives are the barrier that keep us from returning. They are the things that are in the way of revival in your heart and in my heart. Hosea chapter 7, verse 10. The pride of Israel testifies to his face, yet they do not return to the Lord their God, nor seek him. Wow. Could the problem be my pride that's keeping me from revival? It's not easy to admit that my heart is stone cold, dry as a bone, because I'm prideful. It's not easy to confess that what I set off in search of didn't turn out the way that I thought it was going to, and it's been a failure in my life. It's hard to swallow my pride and say that what I really need is back there where I left it, and it's waiting for me to return to the Lord. Hosea chapter 11, verse 5. It says there, Assyria shall be their king. You see, a pagan nation was about to come on to Israel and was about to rule over her and was about to bring her into bondage and slavery. Why? Because they have refused to return to me, God says. Holy mackerel. What if my entrapment in my wrong thinking is simply my refusal to truly return to God? What if this cyclical failure that I find myself going through time and time and time again, sometimes for many years, can be traced to my unwillingness to give it all over to God and return to Him? Even in the last chapter of Hosea, Hosea pleaded with Israel, and God is still promising today in Hosea chapter 14, verse 4. He says, I will heal their apostasy. I will love them freely. And then he says in verse 7, they shall return and dwell beneath my shadow. You see, the entire book of Hosea proclaims the assurance that good things await or happen to those who return to the Lord. The assurance can be yours if you'll return to Him. 3 years ago, on Christmas Eve night, our entire family was gathered in our home for the Christmas holiday celebration. And about 3 o'clock in the morning, I was awoken by a screaming carbon monoxide detector going off in our bedroom. Some of our grandchildren were asleep on the floor around our bed. Immediately I knew at the screaming of that alarm that I had to get out of bed because there was danger, danger, danger towards my family. And I could have made a choice. I could have chosen. I was in a dead sleep slumber. I can still feel it as I think about it. I didn't want to get up, but I had to make a choice. Would I get up and respond to the danger, or would I stay in that warm, comfy bed and just sleep in my slumber? I had to make a decision. Would I move myself away from the danger of what was going on that night in our family home? You know, so often, I think just like that, God is allowing alarms to go off around you and I all the time that so often we don't pay any attention to. But we fail to heed the warnings of those alarms and the warnings of that danger that's around us. God's wanting to perfect His holiness inside of us, but we have grown deaf to His call. You see, returning for you is igniting a fresh passion to follow God with your whole heart. Notice, it's not about somebody else. It's about your heart. It's a decision of yours at a particular point in time, just like that point 3 years ago in our family home. A decision at a particular point in time that you have to make. Are you ready to make it to return to the Lord and experience His revival in your life? Well, I can hear the questions because I asked it of myself this week. Well, Rich, what does returning really look like if I return to the Lord? I mean, what does it really mean when we talk about returning? What does Hosea mean here when he says return? Come, let us return to the Lord. Well, I think there's several things. One, I think turning to the Lord is recognizing. It's recognizing. I want you to think about your life for a moment. The call to the return to the Lord, it begins with the recognition that there are some things in your life that you have to be willing to give up and let go of and say no to. What are they? I think they are the things that I have to go, are the ones about which you can say, this is wrong. And this is harmful to me, and it's harmful to my family and to my loved ones and to the people I care about. This is wrong. I don't desire this anymore. It doesn't whet my appetite any longer. I just reject this, and I recognize that I don't want it anymore. I recognize it for what it is, and I'm returning to the Lord. There's a recognizing that's going on when you're turning to God for revival and returning to Him. You've got to see some things differently in your life. You've got to let God shine His light on your activities, inside and outside, so that what used to be attractive is recognized for the sin that it really is. The first part of turning is recognizing that behaviors that we rigorously rationalize are the real issues in our heart. Because if I have to defend these behaviors time and time again, I've just rationalized them that they're okay, and that just leads me farther and farther and farther away from returning to God. I want you to understand the concept of seeing in your life the things that need to be removed, because it's a barrier that keeps you from returning to where you really need to be with God. Turning to the Lord is recognizing, but it's also repenting. Turning to the Lord is repenting. You see, when you see what got you where you are and you don't want it anymore, you come to the place where you're really finally ready to let go of it, and you're finally at the place where you have some total honesty with God. And you say, God, I'm wrong. I've been wrong. God, I'm sorry for what I've done. God, You deserve better than this from me. And I repent of my previous actions. God, I have no excuse for acting and choosing the way that I've been acting and choosing about the things in my life. I'm unworthy, God. I'm undeserving, Lord. But I'm returning, I'm returning, I'm returning to You. Listen, you cannot return to God and experience revival without repentance in your life. You cannot. Repentance is key to the revival, to a fresh work of the Holy Spirit inside of you. We'll talk about this in another couple weeks in another sermon about real repentance. So it's recognizing, turning is recognizing, turning is repenting, and turning to the Lord is actually returning. Returning. Listen, if you want to experience a shower of God's mercy over your life, if you want to experience a deluge of downpour of the Holy Spirit's work over you, you have got to come to the place where the water began to flow in the first place. You've got to get back. It's a returning to God. You've got to get back where the Spirit flowed and flowed and flowed over you in the beginning. It's a returning. Listen, this is an exertion of your will. Your will to get moving. Your will to get back again, to get started down the right path in the right direction. It's more than just an emotional response. It's literally a change of your mind. I'm going to leave this sin behind. I don't want this anymore in my life. I'm not hanging around that temptation to sin any longer. I'm letting go of this. I'm shutting it off. I'm moving away from it. I'm stopping it in my life. I'm returning to the Lord. I want what God has for me first and foremost and best of all. I'm returning to God. Now, I want to give you a warning. This is not a do-it-yourself project in your life. This is not a do-it-yourself project. Listen, you cannot fix yourself in order to return to God. Don't listen to this message today from Hosea, from God Himself. Don't listen to this today and think, like so often people think, say to yourself, well, after I get some things sorted out in my life, after I get some things lined up, then I'll return to God. Don't think, well, I'll take a bath and get rid of some of the dirt first, and then I'll return in order to get right to God. No, 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 no. God is the bath. God's the cleanup agent. God's the cloth that wipes you clean. God's the one that makes you whole and heals you inside and out. Get back to Him as quickly as you possibly can, because God doesn't need your attempt at self-reform. Self-reform won't get you anywhere, but farther and farther and farther away from Him. He doesn't want your effort to be He doesn't want our efforts to be apart from Him. He just wants this, for your heart and His heart to be as close as possible, as quickly as it possibly can. Come, come, let us return to the Lord. You know, I'm firmly convinced. I've been a Christian since I was 17 years of age, and I know myself well enough. I'm firmly convinced that there needs to be regular intervals of turning back to God in my life. Regular times, points, seasons, where there's a refining of the Lord inside of my own heart. Times when our wandering heart has its cords tightened up so that our hearts become in line with God's heart and makes the music of God's heart again as it was designed to. Where our closeness to God is renewed and reaffirmed. We need that over and over and over again. It's not a matter of trying harder to live rightly. It's not a matter of trying to orchestrate things in your own power and your own will, but it's simply returning to the Lord. Not because He's left you, He hasn't. But because, like Jonah in the whale, in some way, at some level, you have left Him. The Apostle Paul challenges us in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. As you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. He didn't say walk in yourself. He says, so walk in Him. Why? Because you have received Him as Lord and Savior of your life. I think every so often as we go through the months and the years, we need to say, boy, have I slipped. Man, have I distanced myself from God somehow. How in the world did I get over here? I've got to get back to God and get right again with Him. And if you've known Christ for only 3 years or more, or maybe for 20 or 40 years, you probably need a revival right now in your heart. I have experienced it even this weekend. You see, so often we think, well, I became a Christian back in 1972 in August, and I went forward that time at the Lowell Lundstrom Crusade, and I gave my heart to the Lord, and I prayed the sinner's prayer, and I wept like a baby, and I felt the load of sin lifted off my shoulders. And that's great. That's what it's all about. That's eternal life in Jesus Christ and Him alone. There's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. But since 1972, I've wandered from God 1,000 different times in 1,000 different ways, and in 1,000 different times, God's voice has gone out. Rich Hubert, return to the Lord. Come, let us return to the Lord. Come back to me, Rich. Let me tighten up the heartstrings of your life again. You know, the church has understood this. For 2,000 years, there was has been an emphasis on revival. But something happened about 150 years ago. Suddenly, that switch was turned off. And now the church is a mile wide and an inch deep in their faith. And for the last 150 years, there's been an ignorance and an ignoring of the need for personal revival in our lives. And it's led to a spiritual drought that is unspeakable in the modern church of today. Returning is more than removing overt sin from our lives. It's 1,000 refinements, each one taking us deeper and further into all that knowing the Lord is about. Wow. Can we just stop here? Take a deep breath with me. I need it, you need it. Because I have some questions that we need to ask ourselves. Let's ask ourselves some hard questions right now. When was the last time you had a spiritual crisis in your life? When was that? A time when you clearly heard the word, the voice of the Lord through the word of God drawing you back to himself. When was that last spiritual crisis? When was the last time that God brought you to your knees under the weight of the weeds that were growing unwanted in the garden of your heart? When was the last time? How recently has it been since your heart was so tender towards God that you wept over the lost people in your family and in your neighborhood? Because you realized that if they were to die today, they were in danger of hell. When was the last time? If your honest answer was like most of believers that I know, God wants you to respond to the invitation, come, let us return to the Lord. You might ask, Rich, what if I do that? What if I do return to the Lord? What will a revival feel like inside my heart? I mean, what will that look like? Well, let me give you some biblical insight, I think, into a revived heart. Hosea wants to make sure that you and I know what to expect. Therefore, he tells us exactly what the goal of God is. It's found in verse 3. Let us know. Let us press on to know the Lord. The goal is that you and I will have a firm, deep, seated understanding of the knowledge of the Lord. Let us know, let us press on to know the Lord. What will a revived heart feel like? It will feel like a heart that's full of the knowledge of the Lord. That's a phrase that's used often in Scripture. Its first usage, interestingly, is found negatively in Exodus chapter 5, verse 2. When Moses is standing in front of the Pharaoh of Egypt, and Moses has told him through the as the voice piece of God to let his people go. And Pharaoh says, I do not know the Lord. He doesn't know Yahweh, the I am who I am. Interestingly, on the opposite spectrum of that negative is the positive. In Isaiah chapter 11, verse 9, remember a contemporary of Hosea, prophesied, predicts in the final days of human history that the whole earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as much as the waters cover the earth. That's a lot. That's completely. Knowledge of the Lord. What will a revived heart feel like? Well, it will have a knowledge of the Lord that's more than just about facts of who God is. It's more than just about facts. Paul wrote to the Romans, "Oh, the depths of the riches, both of wisdom and knowledge of God." You see, information is powerful, isn't it? But it's not very powerful when it's not an end in itself. That's why we not only need facts, but we need heart understanding. Knowledge of the Lord is a heart understanding of those facts. You can have, listen, you can have half this Bible memorized up here. But if it has not downloaded into your life where it transforms your heart, it doesn't mean a hill of beans. It needs heart transformation. God wants us to feel the facts that we know about Him. Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your mind." Yes. But He also said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength." God wants us to feel the facts in our hearts that we know about Him up here in our minds. Which leads to, I believe, an experience with God. Knowledge of the Lord, that phrase of a revived heart, you will feel like you will have an experience with God. Paul wrote to the church in Acts, the brand new church in Acts 17:28, he said, "In Him, Jesus, we live and we move and we have our being." Not in our own, in Him, Paul said. In Jesus we live. In Jesus we move. In Jesus we have our totality of our being. Everywhere you go, God is there. He's with you at home. He's with you in your car. He's with you at cards. He's with you in front of your computer. He's with you at the store. He's out there with you in your neighborhood. He's with you handing out those tickets to the Fireproof movie, inviting unsaved people to come and hear a message of the Lord. Do you have that sense of God's presence in your life? If not, you need a revival. You need to come, let us return to the Lord. Has that sense of His presence been growing, or has it been fading in your life? You can have that back if you don't have that right now. It's all a part of the knowledge of the Lord. It's facts with feelings in the heart, with an experience that comes out of that, and it's a recognition of the blessings that flow from God. That's part of the revival process of the heart. Knowledge of the Lord is blessing from God. James 1 verse 17 says, "Every good and perfect gift comes down from God, from the Father of lights, whose shadow there is no turning," it says there. Part of the knowledge of the Lord is an awareness that everything you have, absolutely everything, is a gift from God. Do you have a good relationship? It's a gift from God. Do you have financial security? It's a gift from God. Do you have gifts that you use, spiritual gifts? It's a gift from God. Do you have a nice home to live in? It's a gift from God. Do you have a car to drive? It's a gift from God. Do you have a fairly decent health? It's a gift from God. Do you have the next breath? It's a gift from God. It's recognizing that everything is a blessing, a gift from the Lord above. Every good and perfect gift is from above. When Hosea says, "Let us press on to know the Lord," he's talking about those four ways that we acknowledge the Lord. Press on. Press on. Press on. It calls for an urgency in your life and my life. It calls for an enthusiastic effort on our part. I'm going after this. I'm full out. I'm not holding back. I'm changing the way I've been thinking. I'm changing the way I've been focused. I'm going after this thing to come closer to God and return to Him. Come, let us return to the Lord. I'm going to pursue it. I'm going to put some intensity into this like I've never put it into it before. I'm going to press on to know the Lord. It means waking up. It means becoming alert. It means giving that pursuit to know Him everything, every ounce of effort and energy you can possibly pour into it. Romans 13:11 says, "The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber. Come, let us return to the Lord." It's an invitation from God. It goes out to every one of us to wake up, to give our relationship with Him everything it deserves. Let us press on. It's a picture of urgency. It's an invitation to personal revival. It's an invitation to go further, to go deeper, to go higher, to go wider with God than you can possibly imagine. It's an invitation to personal revival. Let's turn to the Lord. Let's return to the Lord. You might say to me this morning, "Rich, you don't know what I've been going through. You don't know the hell that I've been living in. You don't know the pain that's in the depth of my life right now. You don't know how I'm suffering." Listen, listen. Hosea tells us that God is in this crisis in your life right now. He's in the middle of your pain and your discouragement. "For He has torn us that He may heal us. He has torn us down that He may bind us up," Hosea tells us. God's allowing that crisis in your life for a purpose. It's to get your focus and attention back on Him and Him alone, and to get it off yourself and your circumstances. And when you give God your full attention, He will then revive your heart. He's torn us that He may heal us. He's torn us down, and He will bind us up. He will restore us to well-being again. He wants to heal your failures. He wants to heal your family. God wants to heal your marriage. God wants to heal the conflicts you have with other people, your brokenness. God's role in our suffering is for good. Job says, "Despise not the discipline of the Almighty, for He wounds, but He binds up. He shatters, but His hands heal them." Heal. Isn't that powerful? It's so powerful, I want us to read it together out loud. Let's read it. "Despise not the discipline of the Almighty, for He wounds, but He binds up. He shatters, but His hands heal." Heal. Put that into your thinking process. Understand that the crisis you feel like you're in right now is for the purpose of what God doing what Job said He would. Don't despise that crisis. Stop hating that crisis. And then start embracing it, because the wounds that you're experiencing, God wants to heal and bind up and restore for you. He wants to shatter those things because His hands will heal them in your life. Just stop. Just stop and acknowledge God and what God is trying to teach you in your life right now. And return to the Lord. Begin to earnestly seek Him, and you will begin to experience a reviving of your heart towards God. God's doing this work. Hosea reminds us, assures us of this. It's God who heals us. It's God who binds up. It's God who's going out as certain as the dawn. It's God who will come to us like the spring rains. He's doing it. Who? God is. God is. Listen, You can't bring revival to the nations. I said this at the beginning. You can't bring revival to this church. You can't even bring revival into your home, to your family. But you can bring revival to your heart, to your own personhood, when you intentionally cast off that sin that so easily entangles you, those barriers that keep you from God. And when you intentionally discipline yourself to stop thinking wrongly and acting wrongly and begin to move intentionally back towards God. He'll come to you, Hosea promises. He'll come to you like the showers, like the spring rains that water the earth. Listen, you can experience a deluge of God's Spirit pouring over healing over your life and renewal and revival. Come. Dear people, come. Let us return to the Lord. Pray with me. With your heads bowed, could you do a self-examination of your heart right now? Remember those questions we asked earlier. How long has it been since you had a spiritual crisis in your life? How heavy has your heart become weighted down with the things that are growing there that shouldn't be there and they're unwanted? How long has it been since you wept over lost people who you love so dearly? How long? How long are you going to live in the cesspool of bitterness and anger and hatred toward the circumstances in your life right now? Why not look up to God? Why not cast yourself off of that? God will help you. And he'll heal you. And he'll bind you up. He promises that assurance to those who will seek him with all your heart. Do you need to make a move towards God? Do you need to let go of something? Do you need to repent? Of course you do if you've been apart from him. We all need to repent and return to the Lord. Why not do that right now? Today. And begin the journey back towards God in revival of your heart. Come. Will you return to the Lord? What do you need to say to God? We're just going to be quiet and let you say it. Talk to the Lord this morning. Holy Spirit, move on us today. Move on us, God. Breathe on us, O breath of God. Revive our hearts, Lord. God, give us the faith to believe you and the faith to move towards you. Maybe you're here this morning and you're like Pharaoh. Maybe you just don't know the Lord at all. Maybe there's never been a time when you've given your life over to Him as Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You cannot experience revival without salvation. The Bible beckons us to come to the one who will satisfy our thirst, that we'll never thirst again. To come to the one who can forgive our sin and to make us whole. To come by confession of mouth and belief in your heart that Jesus Christ is truly, truly the Lord and Savior of all mankind. For He died on the cross to forgive our sin and to give us eternal life. First salvation and then revival. Believe in your heart that God raised up Jesus from the dead. That He sent His only Son for you personally, for your life. And you will be saved, the Bible says. Repent and turn from that nature, sin nature that you were born with from the time of Adam, that's been in rebellion against God. And turn to God for salvation. Call out to Him, Lord Jesus, save me. I'm yours. I repent and turn to You. And when you do, He promises that He will cleanse you from all your sin and He'll wash you white as snow. Your iniquity will be removed as far from as the east is from the west from your soul. You'll be pleasing and white and acceptable and righteous in His sight. Why? Because Jesus died to do that for you. Come, let us return to the Lord. We bless You. We bless You. We bless You for Your word this morning, Lord God of heaven almighty, the great I am who I am. Lord, on behalf of these people, I pray, help us to long and to taste and to see after You, Father. God, revive our hearts together. Let us return to You, Lord. Do a work exceedingly abundantly more than we can think or imagine inside of each one of us. That corporately together, our light shines for Christ to those around us. That together we'll be of a stronger oneness in Christ than we would be independently. Because we're Your bride. And You love us, and we love You. In Jesus' name, amen.